to the first installment of the Adonis Lifestyle High Gravity Male Edition of the podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and today I've got my buddy Bill Preston on the phone, and we're going to talk about some really, really interesting stuff because I've kind of seen Bill in action, and he's kind of he's definitely a quick shooter, so to say. He has no reservations about talking to anyone, which is a good thing. Definitely not sleazy. So, Bill, I really appreciate you being here, man.
Hey, Brad. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Not a problem. So, Bill, you've got something new come out. It's called The Vibe, and people can check that out. It's like bhlinks.com/vibe. Basically, I'm gonna kind of go over some of the stuff that I saw this weekend when we were in Vegas and kind of parlay it to you because I know that you're going to have a little bit different perspective than maybe some, basically surrounding kind of some of the things that happens. So basically what we noticed or what I noticed was this, is that there are very few people, even in an environment that's conducive to fun. Like it, basically the environment itself was like wide open and it just gives you a reason to just have fun and go talk to people. People were still very cliquey and in their own little cliques, and guys were doing that thing, you know, where they're staying by themselves. Girls were the same way. Right. And it's like everybody's like trying to invite or will other people to talk to them, but nobody really was. And, you know, you've seen me. I don't care. I mean, I'll just talk to anybody. And you're much the same way, probably a little bit better than I am at that type of thing, just because you're kind of slick. But what are some of the things, what are some of these blocks that people are having? Because you know that's what they want to do. I mean, heck, that's why you go to Vegas, is to have a good time. So why do you think so many people, and more specifically guys, because this is what we're going to really talk about, and I think this is going to help guys in other aspects of their lives besides just women, what do you think these big blocks are?
You know, I could talk about this forever, so let me kind of small chunk it and bite off a few pieces and talk about it. So I think one of the things, I think a lot of guys that I've learned kind of see approaching women or talking to women as being work, and it's kind of scary. It's not something that they enjoy. Maybe because they have some fear of it or some previous experiences or whatever. And instead of coming into it like, hey, this is a great time, it's sunny, we're in Vegas, you know, maybe by the pool, instead of just really kind of expanding on that and just talking to people and being social, they kind of feel like they don't want to work. They don't want to actually put in effort. So they're okay sitting there maybe looking cool and trying to act cool. But in terms of going and having fun, they don't see it as fun like maybe you or I would. They see it as something that's kind of intimidating and work, and they don't want to, you know, also they don't want to, you know, look kind of silly in front of their friends if things don't go perfect. So there's a number of things at play that really kind of limit people. And I think it's one of the things that I've talked to you about before, and it's, you know, giving yourself permission also to go out and have fun and not worry about it.
Right. I mean, well, that's part of the fun too is, I mean, who was I talking to the other day about? I really forget. I think it was McKay. We're just talking about, you know, even with approach anxiety and even, you know, with some guys talking about how to kind of shield and maybe shield yourself from that feeling of rejection, like kind of rejection proofing your life and looking at it in other ways. In the longest time, to be honest, and just having fun and doing stuff and just meeting people. I mean, it's been a really long time since I've really got a bad reaction from anybody. I mean, guy or girl. So I don't know. And like I said, when we were in Austin, I mean, you were kind of doing your thing, and it was really funny because you and Christian Hudson. You got to tell them about this game because this is great.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of funny. You were talking about rejection, and I have to say that you know, I've reached the point, and I think anybody can reach this point pretty easily if you just apply it, is it's kind of fun to get rejected, which sounds really weird, but if you make it into this fun game where you go up and maybe especially the beginning of the night or the first time you get to maybe the pool or whatever, you purposely – will try to get rejected in front of your friends. And what that does is it completely like shatters the ice. If you go up to a group of women and say something completely kind of ludicrous, you know, like, hey, my girlfriend's out of town, or I'm in Vegas, my girlfriend's back in Minnesota or wherever. And, you know, I've never had a three-way. So, you know, which one of you two girls want to hook up? Go ahead and give me your phone number or something like that. Now, if you come in with the right body language, you're not creepy, you know, kind of hunched over or whatever, which actually might make it harder, they're probably going to laugh. And worst case scenario, they're just going to kind of look at you weird and put up their bitch shield and act all, you know, like girls sometimes do, which is their own defense mechanism based on their own insecurity. But you do that in front of your friends, I guarantee there's nothing you can do the rest of the day or the night that's going to embarrass you. You're going to basically show everybody, hey, I don't care, this is fun, you know, that was a good time. And And what actually happens if you do it a few times and you kind of have seen this is they don't reject you. They kind of laugh and they say, well, that's no one's ever asked us that. Or, you know, what are you talking about? Or, you know, I think one of my friends, Gio, and I asked these girls if they want to have a foursome. And they thought we were talking about tennis, and then we told them no, we were talking sex, and you know, it was like you laughed right there. It just became this really funny thing, and it's so ludicrous that they know you're kidding, and it just becomes this fun game. And you take something that's everyone's scared of rejection, and you actually make it something that instead of being fearful, you actually are enjoying it and encouraging it. And
yeah,
it's just fantastically fun.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you mentioned that because, like, I saw it with my own eyes. You guys basically just went up and were saying some of the most ridiculous stuff I've ever heard. And 30 minutes later, you're still talking to them, and I'm laughing because I get it. I understand what's going on and why it worked. But it was just funny seeing someone really just take it to that extreme and actually say, hey, check this out. And the best part about it was – you guys didn't even miss a beat. It wasn't like you thought about it. Like, you looked at, no, I can't remember if you looked at Christian or if he looked at you. But one of you guys, he told me, he said, check this out, dude. Here's what we're going to do. And then it was like, gone. There was no hesitation. It was like, here's what we're going to do. Bam, we're gone. And I just started laughing because I was like, oh, these guys, this is great. Because, you know, that's, I don't go that far. But, you know, it's kind of some of the same stuff where you just, I think you can get away with anything as long as you come from a position of strength. So that,
yeah, I mean, there's a term kind of in the community called frame, right? Where you come in and it's whoever has the stronger frame, which is really your own perception of reality. And if your perception of reality is that it's okay to go up to the hottest girl in the club and start talking to her and even say something silly to her and not really worry about her reaction, and you have that sense of reality, then a lot of people are going to want to join you in that reality, even if it's completely against, you know, the society, you know, norms of the time or whatever. That's kind of where it comes from. You come in and it's so ludicrous, but you're so confident about it that it just works. And what's funny is you start doing this with some of your friends and it becomes kind of a routine in the normal game where, you know, you'll actually sit around and think about the most ludicrous things for your friend to say. And then you go into a club and you whisper, you go, okay, so those girls, you got to go tell them this or whatever. And, you know, and usually that's the way to kind of kick off the evening. And it's pretty fun.
Yeah. And as long as you're not an ass about it, I mean, the funny thing I can see happening, like I said, I've never done exactly this, but what I could see happening would be even if you crashed and burned, if you're doing that kind of for about, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, I mean, people notice. So the people you crashed and burned with, they're probably going to come revisit and be like, are you guys still at this or something? Yeah. Just because they're curious, because they realize that, well, yeah, you were just kidding around. And so it kind of, I could see that working in your favor too. Let's talk about something else. I know you've talked about approach anxiety and you've talked about that a little bit. And let's talk about what your real views are on approach anxiety are, because, you said something to me earlier the other day that kind of resonated with me. It makes a lot of sense.
Right. I think everyone classifies approach anxiety as being scared to walk up to, you know, a group of people, whether it's guys or girls, you know, basically strangers, and engaging in a conversation and talking to them. And I don't think there's really any fear of approach anxiety in that context. I don't really believe in that. And it sounds kind of strange. Like, you wouldn't have any problem going up to, you know, a stranger at a store and asking them where a book is or something, or you know, where the video games are or whatever. I mean, that's your approaching a stranger. The thing is because you know exactly what you're going to talk about. You know what the thread's going to be. You know it's going to end, you know, after a few, you know, 30 seconds or whatever. So you're not scared at all. I think approach anxiety is actually being the fear of what happens after you actually approach them. So after you come up and maybe you compliment them on what they're wearing, or, you know, you say, hey, I've been here kind of all night and that, you know, you guys are definitely the hottest girls I've seen, or whatever you're quote unquote, you know, opening line is or approach is, it's after that. So once you've said that and she says, thank you, you know, I picked up this, you know, my sister bought me this for my birthday or whatever it is. What you say next is the fear. I think guys don't know what to do after that first conversation. So one of the things I've really taken some time to teach and actually kind of document, that's what the product, The Vibe, really is, you know, how to vibe with women, is what you do next. So the conversations that you have, the questions you might ask that are really kind of interesting, the games you can play. There's actually a lot of fun games that are really easy to play. And I, without a doubt, every single time I've played these games, There's about 13 of them I cover. Women love them, and it's just something that's fun. And if you ever been in a club and you've seen like a group of maybe guys and girls and they're all kind of laughing and joking and, you know, kind of touching each other and looking at something and pointing, they're playing this type of game. And if you've always wondered what those games are and what they're saying, that's kind of what I reveal in my product also.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's really interesting because in that transition period that you're kind of talking about, that what happens next, that's, I think a lot of guys get afraid of being tested at that point too, because that's when that part's going to fly up and say, okay, there's somebody in front of me. Let's find out what they're about. And for me, it's kind of funny because, you know, you're going to get, I don't care who you are, you're going to get tested. And I actually look at it now as a positive thing, because if somebody's not testing you, that means they don't think enough about you to wonder if you're the real thing. You know, it's like if somebody gave you a brick of gold, would you not go to the jeweler to see if it was real? You would go get it tested, you know, because it's too good to be true. So that's kind of the way I view it. And I guess a lot of these games and things that you're revealing and talking about right now, that's just one way of overcoming and kind of getting the momentum running so that you don't even have to really worry about that stuff so much. But it's going to happen
throughout
the whole time.
Yeah. And you know, you touched on something that's really interesting, and I think a lot of guys don't realize this, and it's incredibly powerful, is not only are they testing you, but you should be asking questions and engaging in conversations that qualify them. So mm-hmm. that basically have them – in some way prove themselves to you. Now that sounds kind of weird, but it's actually rather simple. It's questions you ask and, you know, kind of things you're looking at them from a personality trait perspective, or, you know, things about them. And you go into some detail and talk about it. And it does a number of things. One, it helps you decide if there's somebody that you actually want to continue to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, when they do that, they actually become invested in you. The more you share about yourself and the more, you know, a woman, let's say, works for you, even if it's in a conversation where she kind of proves herself to you, the more she likes you. It's this weird thing about humans that, you know, and everyone's seen it, you know, I'm sure every guy that's listening to this has at some point, you know, really, really worked hard for a girl, bought her flowers, did all sorts of stuff, and really liked her. And the more he did stuff like that for her, the more he actually became engaged with her and committed to her. And unfortunately, many times, the girl became less engaged and committed to him. So there's kind of a theory that whoever works the hardest is the most attracted or becomes the most attracted. So mm-hmm. if you can get a girl to work for you a little bit, like I said, even in playing some of these games or having these conversations, she's going to naturally, you know, by some wiring in the human's brain, she's going to become more attracted to you.
Right. Yeah, I've seen that quite a bit. And I guess that kind of comes into the whole frame of indifference. And let's talk about that for a second and what you view indifference, because I think maybe what you view it and what the way I view it is probably the same, but it may be a little bit different than what most guys view the word indifference.
Right. I think indifference is a tough one, because on the surface you kind of hear just, you know, cocky and kind of, you know, you don't care and, you know, you're kind of arrogant, and that's not indifference. Indifference for me is you do care, you are engaged, you are listening, but you don't really put too much weight on the result. So if she says something that, you know, you maybe don't agree with, you really don't let it get bent out of shape. Or if you do something that you think would attract her, maybe, you know, I don't know, you do a magic trick or whatever you have in your bag of tricks. You know, I don't really use magic. I have friends that do, and it works great for them. But, you know, as an example, you do something that you think would elicit a response and it doesn't, I think a lot of guys would let them, you know, that would derail them. It would get off track. They would, you know, maybe start questioning whether the woman's attracted to them or whatnot. And for me, indifference is, you know, it doesn't matter. You did it. You had fun. You did it because it was something that you were interested in doing. And if she likes it, great. And if she doesn't, that's great too. And, you know, that's how I frame the interaction. What about yourself?
Yeah, I was going in the same directions. Indifference is not apathy. They're totally different things. I mean, indifference has some emotional fly in it. I mean, basically, you're having a good time, but it's like you were saying, the end result, even though you're looking for some result at the end of the night, like you're looking to have a good time, you're looking for some type of result that involves fun. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to lock down on one particular person. So that's kind of the difference in the result-oriented, you know, game. But then on the same surface, again, it's not apathy. It's not that I really don't give a shit attitude, like, at all. Cause I don't see that working very much at all, unless you're working on, women that are really, really, really just messed up, and you know, and selection's part of the game, man.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, that's interesting. I just wanted to ask you about that because, you know, like I say, we talked about, you know, kind of some of the things that you're interested in as far as having fun and, you know, making up little games. Give me an example of a type of game. What you said, you got 13 of them that in your little bag of tricks. What's an example of one that would be somebody could take right now and walk away with?
Right. Well, one that's always been fun for me is, you know, if you don't know what to say and you say, hey, you know, let's play this really fun game. It's, you know, and kind of act like it's new to you also. Say, hey, I just learned this game from my friend. It's really, really interesting. It kind of tells a lot about somebody or whatever to kind of preface it. Okay, it's called, you know, Marry, Fuck, Kill. And, you know, a lot of people have heard of this, but I don't think enough people use it where, you know, and it does a number of things. It kind of teaches you about them. It's kind of got a little bit of a sexual vibe to it. And it also allows you, if you do it right, to kind of get some touching in. So, you know, she'll go, Marry, Fuck, Kill, what's that? And you say, well, you know, you got to choose somebody, you know, we'll look around and we'll choose somebody that you'd want to marry, somebody you'd want to fuck, and somebody you'd kill.
Mm-hmm.
And what I always kind of do at that point is, and I kind of go into this in the vibe, is how to actually stand. So there's ways to stand next to a woman and ways not to. And if you get it wrong or even inverse, if you stand a certain way and she's standing the other way, it's going to feel awkward. And then conversely, if she switches and you don't, it's going to feel awkward for her. So there's a way if you stand right next to somebody, you can actually get, if you're kind of hip to hip facing the same direction, you can actually get really close to them and, you know, put your arm around them, lean in, whisper in their ear, and say, okay, you know, and you're not playing kind of a game. It's a secret. It's building rapport. It's just the two of you. It does a lot of really interesting things from like a social perspective, and kind of a pair bonding perspective maybe. And I like to kind of lean over and I'll point to somebody, you know, maybe a hot waitress, and I'd say, you know, I'd marry her or I'd fuck her or whatever. And a lot of times I end up picking a girl that I would kill just because, you know, you can't be creepy about it, but I'd say, you know, I don't like girls that have that attitude. She's all, you know, stuck up on herself or whatever. And, you know, kind of bond with her a little bit because a lot of girls see these other girls that really are just kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've all seen them. They're kind of fun to tease or whatever, but they're not necessarily the girl you'd want to, you know, have a relationship, let's say. So,
right.
Usually I go first, you know, I'd marry this girl or I'd kill this guy because he's really annoying or whatever. And then, okay, who would you marry, you know, fuck or kill? And, you know, you're still leaning up against her. You're kind of looking around the room together and, you know, it's just this kind of fun thing. And, you know, she'll pick somebody and then she'll say she'll marry some guy. And then you can kind of bust on her about it and say, oh, he looks super boring or whatever. And, you know, you're just vibing at that point. And it's usually pretty fun. And it's one of those things that, like you said, it kind of passes the time. You're both having a good time. You're getting a little touching in. You're showing her you're kind of a sexual being because you're kind of leaning in. And you are talking about some pretty big topics, right? Some passionate topics. Marrying somebody, you know, having sex with somebody, and I guess killing somebody.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it's all in good fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's interesting because that kind of segues into something that I'm really interested in as far as – I mean, I've seen my parents do this all the time. I mean, they're 60-some years old. But what I've noticed – is that they still flirt, like hard, right? And a lot of times when I see guys go up to women or, you know, just in an interaction, they totally, even though they're displaying indifference, so to say, and just being friendly, there's that edge isn't there.
Right.
And I think that's what gives you that, just kind of that over the top, you know, I don't want to say edge twice, but I do that all the time. I use words like consecutively that just mean totally different things. That's just part of my rapport thing or whatever. But anyway, but no, it's just really weird because you'll see a guy and you'll say, oh man, I'm in the friend zone. Well duh. You didn't flirt with her.
There. Exactly. Yeah. You can't flirt enough. I mean, you can't over flirt.
Yeah.
I've never heard one girl say he flirts too much and actually mean it is a bad thing.
Right.
You know, yeah. unless you're creepy, unless you're doing weird things, you know, and you're doing things that are socially awkward, of course that's not going to be considered flirting. That's going to be considered just strange. But if you're actually flirting and having a good time and kind of, you know, smiling at her and kind of, you know, all these little things that constitute flirting and kind of engaging with the woman, you can't do it too much.
Yeah.
In fact, the more you do it, the more other women are going to notice you and the more attention you're going to get as being kind of, you know, this guy who's maybe a little extra flirty or a little extra touchy or a little extra kind of engaged with women. And every single time I've heard women talking about a guy like that, it's coming from a place of, you know, they're attracted to him.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting because, again, that was one of the things we saw when we were at this big pool is that, you know, nobody was really engaged on that level where it was fun, flirty, and everybody was in a good time. It was more of a, I'm over here, I'm going to go meet some people, and, you know, I'm not going to try to act like I'm interested in her at all. And I don't, I've never had that work for me at all. I mean, I know some people talk about that by just kind of going over there and trying to be friends and stuff. I've just never had seen that work, you know, at all. Matter of fact, check this out. I did a little experiment the other day where I was out with my buddy Rich and we were at the bar and everybody knows I have a girl, so this is not a big deal, but you know, I was at the bar and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try to make friends tonight. How about that? And so I saw these two girls. They, you know, were just hanging out and they had just graduated from passed the bar exam or whatever. I was like, all right, that's awesome. You know what? Let's get a shot and celebrate. And, you know, then we started talking about our boyfriends and girlfriends and all that stuff. And, you know, I was just trying to be cool and friendly or whatever. No flirting at all, just being there. And we ended up walking down to the next bar. And I swear to God, these girls, within 5 minutes, were flirting their asses off with other dudes. I mean, yeah. Flirting their asses off. And I was just like, this is funny to me because these girls are going out. They have boyfriends. And even though there might not be anything that's going to happen, they are still there to flirt their ass off.
Yeah. I tell you what, flirting's fun, man. I mean, yeah. that's the whole thing. And that's what these girls were doing. They weren't. It was pretty harmless for them. And you're saying you see a lot of instances of guys who don't flirt. And I think if they kind of just got over their own, maybe their own ego or maybe they learned a few things that were good at flirt, you know, that helped them flirt or even went out kind of like I like to do, which is kind of act silly maybe the first opening and do something kind of that you've never done before to kind of break the ice and then you can flirt. But I think guys are just scared to take that first step.
Yeah. You know what? I said this to Elle about maybe 6 months ago because we were at a party at Duke University. There was some big ball or something. And, you know, we were there and I was standing in line to get some food. And this lady behind me was just started flirting, right? And then come to find out later, you know, she's got a husband and everything. And she's like, oh man, you should meet my husband. He's really cool. He could actually help you out with some of the stuff you're interested in, vice versa. So I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. Cause that definitely took a turn that I didn't see. You know, I just thought she was just going to kind of come cougar me. You know what I'm saying? And we were just sitting there. I was like, oh, okay. All right. That's cool. Now that's indifference. That's what I would consider indifference. Like just being open to where the night goes. But, you know, it was kind of funny because I was telling her, I was like, I have never met a single woman, married, divorced, single, boyfriend or whatever, that would not be interested in meeting somebody cool.
Yep.
I mean, and I don't.
I agree. Yeah. You
know, I mean, it doesn't matter if they got a boyfriend or not or whatever. If you're a cool, who would not want to meet a cool person?
Guy or girl? Yeah, it doesn't matter. You want people like that in your life. And I'm a believer that kind of you are kind of who you surround yourself with. So if you surround yourself with kind of open, engaging, you know, as you say, cool people, that's going to rub off, and you're going to become more like that. But if you surround yourself with people that are negative or you know, kind of the woe is me or complainers, you're also going to become like that. And so it's also a choice that you need to make on who you hang out with, who you engage with, and you know, who's in your life.
Right.
You know, to basically kind of become that same person. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell me some recent stories or whatever, you know, or maybe not recent ones, but maybe some in the past, just some examples of a lot of these concepts that we're talking about now where guys can kind of visualize kind of the flow of how things might have happened.
Yeah. Let me think. Gosh, let me talk about eye contact actually, which is a little bit different, but it's an example of how eye contact can really just make or break everything. And I know some of my friends who also are you know, really good with women use eye contact more than I've ever seen. And, you know, it's one of the things I've adopted and I like to teach guys to do. So I've seen one of my friends, I won't say his name. You know him, but I want to kind of keep his identity private. Whenever we're out, he is the master at eye contact. We'll be out somewhere and he'll see somebody and he always gives them kind of a look like, you know, hey, do I know you? And you know, this is on the phone, but I wish you could see my face because I can kind of replicate it. But it's kind of like if you saw a guy that you knew in high school, right? Mm-hmm. You know each other, but it's been, you know, X number of years, and you're not 100% sure it's him. But you're kind of looking at him, and you're kind of like, hey, do I know you? That's the kind of look I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give women that look, they'll naturally kind of give it back, like, oh, maybe I know this person. So he does that a lot. And what it really does is it kind of takes what we'll call, you know, a very cold approach, an approach that is one that maybe would be just a stranger coming up to somebody, to actually more of a warm approach, where now you've had this nonverbal interaction, right? And what do they say? Like 90% of communication is nonverbal. So You've already had this conversation with somebody with just your eyes. So that's one thing you really want to do a lot. If you see an attractive girl and you guys make eye contact, you really want to kind of, you know, give her that, like, hey, do I know you type of a half smile look. So that's one thing. Another thing, and this is an example, kind of going back to your question of, I think I was in, we used to like to go in the East Village. There's a bar called, actually it was in Lower East Side in New York. There's a bar called Spitzer's, and it's kind of a beer garden type thing, and really fun. Lots of people there on the weekends, and just a great kind of, you know, almost like a college atmosphere. It was a fantastic place. And I remember one of my friends was talking to a girl, and he was really just kind of engaged. I think we were actually teaching a boot camp at the time. And in fact, this was Christian was talking to her, but I could tell he was kind of doing it just to, you know, show some guys how to have rapport with a woman. And I thought she was really attractive. And so I sat down and I was kind of, you know, teaching the guys too. And even though she was talking to Christian, we made eye contact, and I kind of did that. I kind of smiled at her, you know, like, hey, do I know you? And she just locked eyes with me. And so even though she was talking to Christian, you know, she completely made eye contact with me. It was almost like we were having this big conversation with just our eyes. I mean, it was really this really, really interesting situation. And I hadn't even said a word to her for maybe, you know, 5 minutes while she's kind of finishing up her conversation with Christian. And, you know, occasionally I'd be talking to some guys about, you know, whatever we were teaching. Ended up talking to her later. And, you know, it was almost like we were best friends, because we'd had this kind of almost intimate, you know, eye contact for that time. And I just want to kind of stress how important that is, because a lot of guys, you know, maybe they'll look around almost like sharks, you know, looking for prey, and, you know, and other women see that. But if you can actually just establish, you know, this non-predatory eye contact, I'll say, where you kind of are sharing something with somebody, and then later on you approach them, it's incredibly powerful. It makes, you know, the approach simple. It makes the conversation simple. It's almost like you guys are both saying, I like you, right? Mm-hmm. And it's women's way of, you know, women don't really approach guys, right? When's the last time you saw a woman really approach a guy?
I was in a jazz bar, and she was about 55, and she was all over me. that's about where you're going to get. But yeah, no, exactly. I agree.
Exactly. So if you can actually establish eye contact, and it's a meaningful eye contact, that's actually a woman's way of approaching you. That's about as far as she's going to go, right? She's going to smile at you. She's going to do a couple other things. But that's her way of saying, hey, you know what? You should approach me. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, then you're making a mistake, right? You basically are missing out on an opportunity, which is another thing I talk about in the vibe. Is I give some examples of opportunities that were missed and actually weren't missed, and how they could have been avoided. I think there's a ton of missed opportunities when guys go out. You know, I certainly had one in a bar called Pianos in the same area, where, again, we were teaching a boot camp. And, you know, I don't know if anybody on this has attended a boot camp. You know, it's one of the best ways to kind of improve your game. I don't teach them anymore. I've done it in the past. They're really great, but I was teaching one. And as I said, kind of part of teaching boot camp is you're not out there as an instructor to really meet women or hook up. You're there to give examples and then kind of, you know, show guys what to do. But there was a gal across the room, and I was teaching these guys, and I was talking, and this really attractive Asian woman was in the corner, and she locked eyes with me, and I kind of smiled at her, and I gave her that look, and then she gave me kind of that look back and a smile, and I'd never seen her before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where, you know, if I was just out with my friends, I would have immediately gone up and talked to her. But of course, you know, we were working, and I was helping this guy talk to this girl. I don't remember the exact situation, but that was her way of saying, you know, there's something about you that I find interesting. You should come talk to me. And I think guys will have a girl do that, and then they'll kind of just, you know, maybe they'll go somewhere else, or they'll leave, or they'll get nervous, or there'll be a lot of guys, I think, are just happy about that. Hey, man, this girl looked at me. That was awesome, you know, or whatever. And they kind of just leave it at that. And that's really almost rejecting the girl. So if you don't actually go up right away, you're basically telling her, you know what, I'm not interested in you.
Right. Huh. So tell me this, because I've had like I said, you guys do a lot more of this stuff. I'm basically just kind of, I'm not going to say natural at it. I've just, back in the day, I've got so much one-on-one sales that it's back in the health club industry. I mean, I've literally probably talked to 7,000-8,000 people face-to-face. And right. So I don't even think about a lot of these, like these little nuances that you're talking about, like the eye contact, which as soon as you said it, I was like, yep, I've seen that. That works. But you know, what's really interesting. What are your views on actually trying to get her to come to you after you've done that? So like you see her and she sees you and you're just like, really? Come here. You know what I mean?
You gotta be careful, right?
Right.
If you have approach anxiety as a guy, or you think that, you know, and never, guys won't admit this, but you know, maybe your ego's a little fragile. Like we all have fragile egos, even if we don't admit it. Women are in many cases much worse. So if you wave her over and you haven't actually established some sort of rapport via eye contact, she's just not going to come. And it's not because she's not interested in you. It's because she's scared of looking foolish in front of other people. And you know, women are much more social than guys, and their social status and hierarchy is really kind of programmed into them. And the last thing a woman wants to do is actually look foolish in front of a crowd. But guys, we do it. Sometimes we don't like it, but you know, some guys do. Like I talked about how, you know, we do it because it's kind of fun and it kind of breaks open the night. But women don't like it at all. So you're going to have a real challenge with that unless you establish some nonverbal rapport, or she's, you know, drunk, of course, which that doesn't really count. Or if she's close, right? Or if there's a way you can do it in a way that's kind of interesting. So, you know, I've actually done that a few times where you're kind of close and maybe your group's near another group and you can't just say, hey, come here. You kind of have to go through the whole motions of giving kind of that look I was describing, kind of smiling and giving the like, hey, do I know you? And then you can kind of give a slight finger gesture, you know, kind of a wave to come here. But you also have to kind of meet her halfway. You can't stand around with all your buddies and expect, you know, a cute girl to come and join you guys. It's just not going to happen.
It's like running up in a lion's den.
Exactly. But if you can kind of wave her over and you kind of excuse yourself from your guys and she'll kind of do the same, then you can actually kind of wave her over and start talking to her. And that's really intimate. If you can do that, then you're going to, you know, unless you blow it. And if you say the right things, which are actually much easier than guys realize, you know, if you say the right things and kind of keep it brief and just, you know, many times say, hey, I just wanted to say this, you know, we noticed you and blah, blah, blah. You know, I have a bunch of examples again, but, if you kind of give her a reason why you pulled her aside, it's kind of interesting. You know, hey, I noticed this about you and I just wanted to, you know, say, I thought it would, you know, I noticed that, you know, there's something about you that's whatever it is, you compliment on her and say, you know, you really made my day, or you made a moment for me. It was kind of cool. Thanks. And then you kind of excuse her instead of trying to, you know, just hoard her and, you know, take over her whole situation. You just give her that one moment. You're going to open the door up later where she's going to be thinking about you. If you come talk to her later, maybe your friends kind of disperse or whatever, you basically have seeded a pretty awesome encounter for later in terms of, you know, getting to know her better.
Yeah, that's interesting. You brought that up. I love the fact I keep saying that's interesting. But what I've noticed too is that a lot of guys kind of go for the one and done. So it's better. It's almost like the crash and burn rather than having a little bit of patience in any given situation. Like if you know that you've probably got a little bit of time, I mean, I've seen in the past where, you know, time works in your favor, where you're not actually having to. I mean, I like buying drinks. I know people say you shouldn't do it, but like I say, I do it. And I do it from a different perspective. I do it because people look cool. I go buy them a drink and then I'm off on my merry way. You know, I'm not really sticking around very long. But I've done that plenty of times where you just find some cool people, you go buy them a drink and you walk off. And then, you know, later on the night, you know, maybe an hour later, they come back up to you and say, you know, that was really cool, man. We haven't met really hardly anybody cool tonight at all. Most people have been trying to buy us drinks and get in our pants. At least you had some nobility about you.
and you're also demonstrating that you're not needy, right? A lot of guys are reaction. They buy a drink. They're completely needy. They're reaction seeking. I bought you this. Now what are you going to do for me? Are you going to hang out with me? You know, they're doing a million things wrong. They're buying the girl's attention. What you're doing, from what I hear, is, you know, you buy him a drink. You're like, hey, you seem cool. That's great. I'm going to go over here and talk to my friends. Maybe I'll see you around. You're not being needy. You're coming from a place of high value. You're actually demonstrating love, right? Which you're giving of yourself. And that's super powerful. And it goes to something else that I think a lot of guys either don't get or don't know how to do or are scared to do or whatever, which is, and let me use an analogy. I might push this a little far, so if it's kind of crass, you know, I apologize. But many times you want to think of, even when you're dating, but let's just talk about the bar scene, you want to kind of think about it like you're planting a garden. Now, if you were planting a garden, you wouldn't plant just one seed. You wouldn't plant one seed and stare at it and pour water on it and you know, make sure it was the perfect temperature and had the perfect sunlight and just hover over it, because you would basically smother it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of guys do that. They find one girl, they buy her drinks, they buy whatever she wants, they do everything they can, you know, act like a clown to entertain her, and you basically are smothering it. But instead, you meet one girl and you kind of, you know, it's almost like planting a seed. You plant it and you're like, hey, it was really cool meeting you. You know, I'm going to go back with my friends or whatever. And then you go meet another girl and you go kind of around and you meet a bunch of people. Well, now you have, you know, going back to the garden analogy, you have all these seeds that are kind of growing, and they're growing naturally. They're not, you know, you're not hovering over them. You know, you might come by and kind of tend to one. You might water it or whatever. But as you go around, pretty soon you're going to have breaking the analogy now, you're going to have a group of women in that bar or club or lounge that are on different levels with you. Some might be, you know, attracted to you from the first saw you. Other ones you had a great conversation with and you're more, you know, in a comfortable stage. Another one, maybe you were over and you guys were playing a fun game and having a lot of touch, and you know, maybe you got a quick kiss, or another one, you got her phone number. So you got all these women that you're now engaged with. You're not needy. You don't have, you know, you're not fully invested in anyone. You're just having a good time. And women recognize that, and for some reason, they know that you're now somebody of value. And even if they see you talking to other women, they actually like you more because of the way women are programmed. They get a lot of, maybe you've heard the term social proof. Mm-hmm. They base a lot of value on what other women think, right? So it's almost like they're shortcutting. Instead of actually establishing their own opinion of you, they look what other women think of you. And if other women approve of you, you must be good, you must be valuable, and they immediately adopt the same attitude. Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting around like you do, right? You buy a girl a drink, you leave, you go talk to another girl, maybe, you know, you play a fun game with them, you have an interesting conversation over here, you're making eye contact with this other girl. All of that kind of compounds upon itself until you become, you know, one of the most interesting guys in the club. And frankly, you'll now have choice with how you want to take, you know, each of those interactions.
Yeah, and it's not that difficult, because I don't think a lot of people realize is that this isn't a game of really being of absolutes. It's more of a game of relativity and within who's in the place at the same time. I mean, for a lot of times, it doesn't take a lot to be the coolest person there. You just have to be a little bit cooler than the next guy. And right. So, it's all really, we talk about this a lot when we talk about Adonis and, you know, and improving your body and stuff like that, is that you don't have to be that much better than somebody else to be better. You just have to be a little bit better. And it's like when we were at the pool in Vegas or whatever, I mean, we had better bodies than most of the people there, and you could see that. But it wasn't like tremendous from some of the other guys, but it was better. And so you right. got a little bit better attention, just kind of overall. But just in the whole scheme of things, I mean, you can be in a bar just like you were saying, or a club, or it could be anywhere, really. I mean, I've seen this happen in many places. Parties, house parties are the best for this type of stuff. I like house parties in environments like that, because you don't have to prove anything. You're there, and so are they. And so automatically you're on the same level because you're in the same place and you had to be invited. Yep. So that's always pretty cool. But, yeah, it's just kind of – you don't have to be like the best in the world.
No, no way. You know, it's funny you mention that. So, you know, the guys I'd hang out with in New York, you know, there's some very attractive guys in New York and other places we've hung out. And, you know, we're never the most attractive guys there, you know, ever. You know, I've lost my hair. I'm bald. You know, one of my friends is pretty skinny, and the other guy's kind of not ragged, but he's, you know, it's kind of has that look about him where, you know, always has a little bit of a 5 o'clock shadow, and, you know, doesn't really use hair product. You know, he's an attractive guy, but he doesn't try. Mm-hmm. So we're never the most attractive group, but we're always, I guess we're never the most attractive looking group, but we're always maybe the most attractive group in terms of, you know, people are watching us. We come in with a certain vibe. You know, we're kind of high-fiving. We're having fun. We're bringing a ton of energy. We're talking to everybody. And pretty soon, even though maybe we're not the most physically attractive group, all, our personalities become us the become you know the most interesting and the most attractive group pretty much every time. I mean, we bring the party pretty much every time we go out. And it goes to your point. You don't have to, you know, obviously if Brad Pitt walks into a place, he doesn't have to work very hard. He goes, sits in the corner and three or four girls are going to walk up to him. Right. But if you're more like an average guy like we are, then, you know, you bring this right attitude, you actually will become kind of, you know, a mini rock star in that environment. And, you know, some of my friends, you know, these same guys, they've actually kind of established somewhat of a reputation going to maybe the hottest clubs in New York. I mean, I've gone with them a few times and, we'd go to, I forget the name of this place. I think it was a house or something where huge line. And we just come rolling up and we know the doorman and we know what's called a promoter, which is, and if you're not in a big city, you may not know what it is, but it's somebody who's kind of hired to bring people into a club. So we'll know a promoter and we'll tell the doorman, you know, who we're with and the promoter's name, and we'll go in and we'll get the VIP treatment. And it's hilarious because we don't spend a dime, but people know that if we're around, everyone's going to have a good time. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's that same thing. It's kind of, you know, just putting yourself in that situation and, you know, being that person. And it's amazing the doors that open for you, just like you guys were the guys that were just a little bit more, you know, maybe a little more cut than those other guys. We're just a little bit more social than everyone else.
Yeah, but it translated both ways. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, obviously, you know me, I'm definitely not antisocial by any means, but just kind of talking from that kind of relative point of view, you know, it's just really interesting. You know, I think guys have this view that it's all or nothing, and it's not. You know, I've never seen that. I've had days where I'm on, days that I'm off, you know, just talking to people.
Right.
Even back in sales, they're just days. But, you know, to be the best doesn't mean you're like perfect.
No, not at all.
Yeah. I mean, I've said some stupid shit in my life.
Yep.
But
everything matters. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's all the little things and it doesn't have to be perfect. It's certainly you don't have to be chiseled. You don't have to have, you know, mm-mm. the perfect thing to say. You're going to, you know, if you're talking to women, you're going to say something stupid and you just move on and keep going, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And frankly, most people you're talking to are actually thinking about themselves. When you're talking to somebody, many times they're thinking about how do I look? What am I saying? What am I going to say next? A lot of times people aren't really worried about what you're saying. So don't get too hung up on it. Just have fun.
Yeah. I talked to this a long time ago. I was calling this being the source of fun, and it's kind of what you basically talked about, where you just walk in wherever you want to go. And Brent Smith is like this. I hung out with him in L.A. He's exactly like this. He calls it being the mayor, where you just walk in
right.
and you act like you own the place, but you don't. Like a literal owner, how a literal owner would work of a place, just kind of walking around, seeing if everybody's having a good time, you know, just being cool, just mingling and just letting everything seed like you were talking about, and just having fun at all costs, and not all costs yep. being monetarily, but just being, you know, okay, you suck. You can't hang out with us because, you know, obviously you're not having fun. Okay, you can hang out with us because you're having fun. Okay, well, we're going to have to work on you a little bit because you don't look like you're having as much fun as you could be having, but I see you got potential, so I'm going to let you hang out for another 5 minutes. Right? You know what
right.
I'm saying? It's just kind of like, and everybody sees it and everybody knows it, and it's like stirring up the pot, and all of a sudden the energy in the whole place just goes up just from one group of people.
Yeah. And one thing I want to touch on. So when you say have fun at all costs, I want to be really clear. One of the philosophies I have is pretty much never, you know, make fun of somebody for something they can't change. So, you know, when we go up and we kind of bust on a girl or we say something silly, it's always at our own expense. We never try to make other people feel bad, whether it's a guy or a girl. I mean, everybody, you know, try to treat everyone good. You know, even if it's somebody you don't like, you try to bring love to it. And the last thing you want to do is make fun of something, especially on a woman, if it's something she can't control, right? So tease her about maybe her choice of, you know, her belt clashing with her shirt or something. That's fantastic. That's hilarious. She can go home and change that. But never, you know, make fun of something that is, you know, physical characteristic or, you know, a speech impediment or whatever, you know. Now, if they are perfect and they maybe have perfect eyes or they have whatever, then you can bust on. Like, I remember my friend was talking to this gal, and this waitress was just, you know, fantastic looking. And, you know, he was talking to her, and I came up, and of course, you know, as we talked about, I was just having fun and I was just goofing. And I knew this girl, you know, thought she was very attractive because she was. And I walked up and I immediately looked at her and I kind of said, you know, said over to my friend, I looked over at her and I'm like, hey, what's with the lazy eye? And, you know, she didn't have a lazy eye. She was perfect looking basically, but it was just kind of my way of just busting on her. And that's not something that was hurtful in any way because clearly she, you know, it was just a joke. So that's okay. Mm-hmm. But if she truly had a lazy eye, the last thing you'd want to say is, you know, hey, what's up with the lazy eye? That's hurtful and mean.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, yeah, maybe let me go back and kind of retouch that because you don't have fun at anyone else's expense. You have fun at your own expense. So like you were saying, I mean, most of the time when I have fun, I use a lot of self-depreciating humor, a lot. Like I'll joke on whatever clothes I'm wearing or shoes or if I didn't shave or have shaved or how lazy I am about shaving or anything like that where I bring myself down. I've never been one of those people like you will never hear a retarded joke out of me about how somebody like joking on, you know, people that are mentally disabled or anything like that or right. You'll never hear any of those jokes come out of my mouth. So yeah, no, I agree.
I see a lot of guys doing that. Sorry for interrupting. And that's one of the things I want to touch on is they think when you go out and have fun at any cost, a lot of guys take that as, oh, let's go make fun of people or, you know, let's go try to act like the cool guys and we'll put, you know, maybe there's the guys that aren't as socially tuned as we are and let's kind of make fun of them. And, you know, that's absolutely not what I consider to be, you know, the way to handle yourself.
Well, there's kind of a difference between being a fun, cool guy and a comedian. One person is laughed with and the other's laughed at. So, yeah. And everybody kind of gets that vibe. And then nobody wants to trust you. And we haven't even got into this point, but, you know, we're just talking about the approach and you know, kind of getting everything started and all that stuff. But at some point, people have to trust you. You have to have some comfort with people. They have to be able to tell you secrets and, you know, you're able to bond with them. And if you started off by basically insulting, you know, anyone, for the most part, without, you know, maybe playing your game or something like that. If you really see somebody that you say you want to kill, and he's obviously like he's not like someone that is like just nerdy, but he's someone that's really trying to be just like a Billy Badass or something.
Yeah,
that's different
than
somebody who's really I don't want to say weak. It's kind of hard to kind of describe that, but let's just say weak in some perspective. I mean, actually, those are the type of guys that you can kind of go up to in places like that and actually bring them into the fun, and people see that. And I don't know how to explain it, but it's kind of like I don't want to say nurturing. That's really bad, but it's – I don't know.
It's good, yeah. I don't know the right term either, but it's something that when you're helping other people out,
it's
people
generous.
See that and – Yep, it engenders kind of a goodwill towards you.
Yeah, there's a certain generosity there that most people just don't have. And I guess that's kind of the whole point of fun at all costs. It's not really fun at all costs, but it's being generous with you and your attitude and what you're bringing to the situation. You're not really trying to siphon off the situation. You're actually giving to the situation knowing that it's going to add value to the place that you're at. And I have never in my life had that backfire on me ever.
Exactly.
You know, it's one way or another, you walk out wherever you are, you had a good time, but more often than not, and I would say a lot more often than not, probably 90% of the time, you have actually walked away with some type of meaningful relationships. And you can take that however you want to. You know, you've met people, walked away with phone numbers, got a date for the next day.
Right.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about phone numbers really quick. Let's kind of close out with this. What are some of your strategies of actually getting to that point? You know, I know a lot of people, it's kind of works in stages for people. It's like, okay, well, I did this. Because most people, I did this, okay.
That sounds complicated.
Right. I did this, pass. Okay, now I'm in this, okay, pass. Okay, she just smiled at me, so now I should probably ask for a phone number. Me personally, I've always just went for dates first and phone numbers later everything like that, like words like dates are kind of used generically with me. I mean, dates could be anything. But let's say a next time to see you. I've always went for that first and then let the phone number or whatever kind of be a byproduct of what that is because obviously you got to meet up.
Yeah, you need to contact them. For me, phone numbers is I've always been, how do I say this? A lot of the things that maybe are out there right now are really kind of complicated. They're almost like algebra, right? Do this, mm-hmm. say that, and then when you get to this stage, then you can do this. When you're at this stage, you have to do that, and you have to memorize a bunch of stuff, and it's just a lot of work. And I don't even it never really resonated with me. And I know a lot of guys that just really got kind of it's overly complicated. I think it's kind of some of that stuff was designed by people who maybe are recovering Dungeons and Dragons players, maybe, and they're everything's algebraic. So for me, getting a phone number has always been when I feel like the conversation has reached a point where we're both interested, which is a lot easier than guys realize.
Mm-hmm.
If you do the kind of things I've talked about, which is the pre-approach and the eye contact maybe and establishing conversations and standing the correct way and cold reading, which I actually go to in my product. There's some real simple things you can do to cold reading, and it's not creepy. It's not like hypnosis or any other weird stuff. It's just certain ways to listen to the way a person's talking to you and the way they look at you to kind of get a feeling of where they are in the conversation and the interaction. So once you get to a point where you can tell that you're both attracted to each other, which is pretty easy if you know how to talk to a woman. And again, it's not a weird, conversational hypnosis or anything. It's just some interesting topics that kind of reveal certain things about yourself and bring it to more of a out of the friend zone and more into maybe the sensual zone or even, an intimate zone. At that point, it's really easy to get a phone number. You can just end it with, maybe, hey, my friends are leaving. I really want to, continue this conversation with you later. Here's my phone. Put your number in it, and we'll talk later or something. It's really kind of, almost like if you just met some dude and you found out that, he was in your hometown also, and he went to your gym, and he had the same fitness goals or whatever. But hey, you seem like a cool guy. Let's give me your number, and we'll hit the gym sometime. That's kind of my attitude about getting a number. It's not, give me your number so we can go on a date, or we can meet up later, or we can whatever it is, which is, kind of results are, and it's more like, hey, you seem like a really cool person. Give me your number and we can hook up later.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always been kind of my personal philosophy. It's really kind of low key. And, I usually just hand her my phone and, hey, throw your number in here. And, I got to get going, but I'd love to continue this conversation.
And so do you actually leave at that point? I mean, obviously if you said that, is it really a kind
many
of
many times? Yeah. Or, hey, I'll be with my friends. They're pretty crazy. They might drag me out of here. And I want to make sure that, we continue this conversation later. Here's my phone number. And then you're free to go do whatever you want, right? You can go talk to other girls or whatever. But it's really kind of that just, hey, we need to continue this conversation sometime. Give me your number.
Yeah. This is interesting. I always like talking to you guys because you guys come from a different perspective. I mean, I live in, I'm from a small town in eastern North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? So it's just funny because even though I go hang out with you guys in different places and I get to see it all and stuff like that, some of it just amazes me how some of it's been kind of thought out of, like not thought out, but it's kind of been deconstructed a little bit to that actually makes sense. Because like I say, all the stuff you're saying is stuff I've picked up on like in the past, obviously just from dealing with lots of people. But it's really interesting to have it kind of just kind of displayed in front of you, almost like a buffet. It's like, okay, well, here's what's happening here. Here's what's happening here. And I'm
yeah.
like, yeah, yeah.
The thing is, it's really easy too. And I think like a lot mm-hmm. of things in life, people overcomplicate it. And some of this stuff is just so simple and so easy. When you break it down like that, you think about it from the right perspective. And it's just natural. Hey, you're interested? Give me your phone number. Let's talk later. Right? There's nothing complicated about that. Let me give you, maybe we can kind of close off on this quick story. A really funny story that there was, I just got done playing tennis with my roommate. It was Ron at the time. We were living, I think, on 3rd and A in New York. And we decided to go to Best Buy to pick up something. I don't remember. And so we're walking down the street. I think we were on 2nd Avenue, maybe. And I like had our tennis rackets and our bags. I'm completely sweaty. It's a summer day in New York. It's probably 80% humidity, 75 degrees, 80 degrees, whatever, which is really hot, considering the humidity. And we're walking along and I'm just disgusting, right? I'm gross. Mm-hmm. I'm sweaty. And this girl comes walking by and she's in a hurry. And I think she might've been on the phone or she was looking at her phone or doing something. And she was completely dressed up. I mean, she was in a dress, beautiful hair, everything. And it was so funny because as she's walking by, Ron and I both just stopped and completely looked like idiots, but we just stopped and just stared at her as she walked by. And right as she was passing, she looked up from her phone and saw us and just kind of smiled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were just so in awe by this that we stopped and I don't recommend doing this, but it happened to work out. We stopped and just turned around and just watched her walk away and literally didn't move. You know, both of us in shock, didn't even really say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it turns out later she was an actress, and I think she's a model. She does a lot of the toothpaste commercials. She's, you know, if you watch TV, you've seen her. I'm not going to reveal exactly who it is, but you know, she was walking past us, and I go, hey, check us out. She's going to turn around and look back, right? Because we had such an exchange when she looked at us, because we were both like, oh my God, this girl is amazing. She got all the way down to the end of the block, probably like, you know, 30 yards away, 40 yards away, and she turned around and kind of peeked at us. And mm-hmm. We both just started laughing, and I go, I told you, like, pointing at my friend. And she kind of looked at us like, what are you guys talking about? And I kind of waved her towards me, and she shook her head no. And so I started walking towards her, and I still kind of waved, and she held up her finger like, you know, like, I'm late, I can't. And I said, I just kind of smiled, come here. And so we kind of went over there, met her, you know, probably about three quarters away. She came about a quarter of the way. And she's like, hey, I'm going to this church here. I think she was a singer. I don't know exactly what she was doing in it, but she had to go. She was completely pressed for time. I'd never even really said a word. I said, you know, I introduced myself and you know, my buddy introduced himself. I said, listen, I know you got to go. I got to talk to you later. And I just gave her my phone, and she spur of the moment put her number in and took off. So the moral is, you know, it can be that easy. Just, hey, there's something, you have this connection, there's something that went down and you want to talk to them later. And, you know, I think I ended up texting her that night, and something about, I think we had a conversation, we called and ended up hanging out the next night and ended up dating her for a little while. But, it's just as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't complicated. It was actually very just natural. You see a cute girl, you are in shock, you're in awe. You watch her, she turns around and smiles, and you smile back, and you go up and talk to her.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's like kind of going back to what we talked about at the beginning, giving yourself permission. It's also, a lot of people are just scared to ask. Just ask. I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, I kind of got this from way back in the sales day. It's like, you never sell anything until somebody signs a check, but you can't get them to sign a check until they signed a check, you know? And so it's just funny. I mean, you can say it's a potential, or man, I could have had this or whatever, or worry about all this stuff that you've got, quote unquote, in your pipeline. But until people sign checks, until you ask somebody to say, hey man, this is really going to be cool for you, you should probably want to pick it up, just like people should pick up your stuff at bhlinks.com/vibe. But until you ask, nothing will ever happen. And so I keep laughing. I'll tell you this really quickly, and we'll kind of sign off. My buddy, he always wants me to write this book called Random. That's the name of the book he wants me to write. It's just called Random, because whatever happens, like whenever we go out and I'll meet him out, or it's just been this way forever, we just go out with a great attitude and have some fun, and you just never know where the night's going to lead. It's just always been this way. And it truly is random. And I was laughing because, you know, I was saying kind of the same things, just kind of going back to, I was like, man, that book would sound a lot like Jim Carrey's Yes Man, because it's kind of what it's like. It's not that far, but it's actually kind of just giving yourself permission just to say, you know what, man, let's just go for it.
Exactly.
Let's see what happens. Whatever happens, happens. Let's just see what happens. And more often than not, if you come at it, from what I'm getting from you and just kind of from my perspective, what I've seen, if you're just coming at it from a good direction and you're not sleazy and you're not trying to really just kind of like be the groupy, grabby, like dirty dude.
Girls hate that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to, no matter what really happens at that point, you're going to come off and you're going to be all right. I mean, the worst she's going to say, because she does it all the time, if she's not interested, she's just going to be like, hey man, you know, you're cool and everything, just not interested. And there you go. It's not like she's going to tell you to like piss off and go die in hell, and I hope you're burning with gasoline all over you, and you know, all this stuff. So.
Yeah. And many times, to touch on that, the reason why they're not interested is because you haven't shown enough value. And that's easy. It's through your conversation with them and becoming, mm-hmm. you know, demonstrating the interesting things about your life and maybe telling a story. If you do that, she is going to be interested in your chances are much likely to succeed. And, you know, if you just go up to a girl, like if I would have just stopped her and asked for her phone number, there's absolutely no way she would have given it to me. But because we had that moment, we kind of had that, you know, looking down the street, me catching her looking back, you know, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things kind of added upon themselves and generated curiosity and interest in her. You know, so that's why getting the number worked. It wasn't because I just asked for it. It was, mm-hmm. it was actually, you know, the whole culmination of everything. So mm-hmm. if you think you're going to just go up to a model on the street, you know, in New York City and get her number, you're absolutely not going to. But if you have that type of interaction, the chances are pretty good that you will.
Sure. But you got to look at her first.
Exactly.
You got to say, hey, maybe I should look at her. Maybe I should try to make eye contact. That's kind of where we're going. These little bitty steps that are not hard. You just, like I say, if they look in your stuff and they see, do you give an example of the eye?
I do not actually.
You should put
it's more of, yeah, I could do that.
You should put that in as a bonus.
Put an addendum.
Yeah. Bonus. The eye. It does, but you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, cause I think that's actually a really, really awesome tip that guys could kind of get that under control, maybe in the mirror or something like that. I mean, that would be something they could take and they could use tonight and just kind of, there you go. Just kind of make eye contact, kind of give that look that you're talking about, create some intrigue, and then.
We've all given that look though. It's that exact look that you would give a friend you hadn't seen in a while and you weren't 100% sure if it was that person.
Right.
Do I know you look? Mm-hmm. And go practice in the mirror. It's easy, you know, and mm-hmm. kind of fake it. And then next time you're out and you see a girl, kind of give her that, hey, do I know you type of eye look. And to watch her response, I think you'll be pretty, pretty impressed.
Yeah, exactly. Just try it. I mean, what do you got to lose, man? The worst she's going to do is roll her eye. But you know what? She's going to look back after you after that. It's funny. Even if she rolls her eyes at you, she will still look back at you to see if you're still looking. It's funny.
And I'll tell you what, if you start laughing when she rolls her eye at you and just kind of give her the shrug your shoulders and like, hey, I tried.
Yep.
Then it's going to – now you have a warm approach. If you want to go talk to her at some point, you're not a complete stranger.
Yep.
You might be that guy that gave her the weird look, but you know, she's already started thinking about you.
But, guys, but all right, here's one thing. That's funny you said that, but that's how women think. They name us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, I got a date with a weird look guy.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, it just kind of gives you – or like for us, it'd been, you know, here's a guy – here's a Vegas dude that was at the pool or whatever, so – it's really interesting, but anyway, Bill, man, I really appreciate taking the time to drop some of your insane knowledge on us. Guys, if you want to hear more of Bill's stuff, you just go to bhlinks, that's bradhowardlinks.com /vibe, and, you know, you can check his stuff out. I mean, he's got it up there for, I guess, I don't know, maybe a limited time because it's not really that expensive. I was actually kind of surprised looking at it. So with everything that you're going to get and kind of we dug into a lot of today, I think you'll really be impressed with it. So. You got anything you want to close out on, man?
No. You guys probably heard my dog AJ in the background, so he's barking at something. But no, just, you know, thanks for having me. This has been great. I love kind of helping guys and sharing my knowledge, and can't wait to see you again. I think, are we going to have another meeting of the minds down in Mexico? Is that what I heard?
Man, I don't know. I've been hounding Brad Jackson about that because he's got to tell me because I need to, you know. If I'm going to Mexico or somewhere sunny, I mean, I've got to arrange for somehow the woman to be able to go or else I wouldn't be able to live that down, you know, going somewhere tropical. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be tough to pull off.
Yeah. Well, if I wanted to keep her around. So, well, Bill, man, I really appreciate it. Guys, like I say, this is the first edition of the High Gravity Male edition of the Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. And for Brad Howard, I've got Bill Preston, and we will talk to you later.
Thanks.